Thanks. I wanted to also thank Radhika for that fascinating presentation. It's really interesting to see the difference in healthcare models between rural and urban settings around the world. So I wanted to first acknowledge my colleague, Dr. Salva Mulongo, who wasn't able to be here today. She is our key populations and outreach specialist and is really the one on the ground doing the work. So wanted to acknowledge her and my colleagues, Dr. Jean-Claude Kiluba and Chad Hatton, who are currently in Kinshasa working on this project. So I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about the champion community model and how to better serve urban populations in the DRC through adapting this model to target key populations. I have no relationships to disclose. So like I said, I want to talk a little bit about how community engagement could be modified between rural and urban settings and discuss one approach that we used in the DRC to reach and engage key populations to enhance HIV prevention and care. So before I start, for those of you who may not be super familiar with the DRC, it's the largest country in sub-Saharan Africa, the 11th largest in the world, so it's massive. It's about the size of Western Europe, so if you can put that in comparison, it's huge. Massive amounts of resources, so there's lots of mining. 70% of the world's coltan, that's a mineral that goes in your cell phone. 30% of diamonds, lots of cobalt, copper, and gold. Very ethnically diverse, 200 ethnic identities, 4 national languages. Health-wise, it has the second worst infant mortality rate behind Chad. Quite a high fertility rate. And it has an element of strong distrust between community and facilities, and is still recovering from a pretty recent conflict. Prevalence rates, depending on who you ask, range between 1.1% according to the DRC government in their last study, 1.3% in 2007 DHS survey. It's a generalized epidemic, and however, it has great geographic disparities. Prevalence is much higher in urban versus rural areas, and often up to 10 times higher in key populations than in the general population. For example, through Provix, the results from Provix testing sites have sex workers in Kinshasa at around 14.8%, MSM at around 12.7%, and injection drug users at around 16% in Kinshasa. So this is the background on the project. It has funding of around $50-51 million, funded by USAID through PEPFAR funds, and through the life of the project worked in 5 different provinces in the DRC. And this is the group of implementing partners led by PATH with Chemonix, EGPATH, and International HIV Alliance. I would be remiss if I didn't mention our incredible local partners from health clinics, health facilities, local government entities, and local NGOs. This is a broad overview of the project's key interventions, prevention, PMTCT, care support and treatment, and health system strengthening. Today I'm going to focus on bullet point 1, which is the community mobilization piece through the champion community approach. So, why is community ownership important? We all know that essential element of any health promotion activity is involving the community and ensuring ownership. So empowering communities, their ownership and control of their own endeavors and destinies is really key when you're implementing public health work. So the champion community model is one way of ensuring this community engagement. It leverages existing community resources for sustainable change. It's flexible, can be tailored to different types of communities, fosters local ownership by mobilizing communities in an inclusive way, leads to increased uptake of health services, and uses a targets and reward system to manage performance. So this is a brief overview of the champion community cycle, starting with mobilization and advocacy. So going out to the community, ensuring that the community chooses to participate in this model, working with the community to self-elect a steering committee composed of representatives from different groups of the community, such as youth representatives, women's groups, religious leaders, educational leaders. Working with the steering committee to self-identify needs and goals and develop a very specific action plan. Working to implement the action plan with routine monitoring and follow-up done by the community itself, and self-evaluation and joint validation between the community and the project. And then at the end, if they met their self-determined set of objectives, celebrating. So one way of celebrating is through a public festival where the community receives public recognition of having achieved the objectives they set for themselves. And it really creates a sense of pride and ownership over these objectives. So there are some challenges when you try to take this model and put it in urban settings working with key populations. The first is urban populations are much more transient and mobile than individuals in rural settings. Key populations are stigmatized significantly in the DRC, and they're not invited to the decision-making table in rural settings. In any setting, really, in the DRC, and so that's a big challenge. And, you know, we learn through implementation that we can't use the one-size-fits-all model for community engagement in the DRC and really need to adapt it. This is a picture of two of our peer educator MSM in Kinshasa at a moonlight testing activity. So one of the interventions that that we do with the peer educators is moonlight testing, where we bring mobile HIV counseling and testing tents to nightclubs or other places where MSM frequent. So this is a graphical representation of the difference between the two models. On the left, you can see that the committee is working with the geographically located clinic, and the committee is represented by including different groups from the community, so the school, the church, youth, women's groups, youth groups, and they're all coordinated through the committee working with the clinic to set health objectives and to monitor their progress. The key populations, such as MSM and sex workers, are represented with the orange here, the orange figures that are outside of the community structures and not invited into as part of the committee. In the key population champion community, the committee is comprised solely of key population representatives from disparate geographic areas. And they're centered around a clinic that is MSM or sex worker friendly and has health workers at the clinic that are trained to treat and accept key populations. So these are the steps to developing a population-based champion community. I'm not going to go into every single one, but the two I did want to highlight were number one, which is probably the most important, working with local partners to identify and map key populations in the setting you're looking to work in. Identifying key population-friendly facilities can be challenging in a context like the DRC when they're so stigmatized. And mapping key populations could be its own presentation and is going to actually be its own presentation. My colleague Peter is going to talk about that in a later presentation. So I just wanted to highlight that that takes time. So you can't underestimate the time that that takes. And then number five, training peer educators. Peer educators really are the heart of this approach. It's through them that we are able to communicate prevention messages, secure referrals for HIV counseling and testing, STI information on STI prevention, referrals for STI testing. They're really the foot soldiers who are doing the work interfacing with their peers in their communities. That's a picture of a group of MSM peer educators after their training in Kinshasa. Initial results. So you know, the project is still ongoing, but we have some initial promising numbers. So more, if you look at the bottom table, more than twice the number of MSM and sex workers sought services in areas where we're working through this key population-based champion community model than in areas where we worked in the traditional geographic champion community model. And in the same areas, between the years 2012 and 2013, three times as many MSM and twice as many sex workers were reached with prevention messages after we formed these key population-specific champion communities. This is an example of an MSM champion community that formed their own formal association. Arc-en-ciel means rainbow in French. And this champion community was in Bas-Congo, a province in southwestern DRC. They had really impressive results and used the resources they received for achieving their objectives to create a hair salon, to generate funding for outreach activities and income for members. So in addition to the quantitative results, I think it's worth mentioning that as you create communities around these populations that are often, always stigmatized, it creates a sense of pride and allows them to advocate in their communities for, you know, their own rights and their own to contribute to prevention and empowerment and prevention of HIV and empowerment of their own communities. So in conclusion, organizing by target population rather than geographic area, particularly for urban populations, results in better reach for prevention messages and better treatment options for key populations. The structure and training that Champion Communities receives facilitates community mobilization and self-reliance within these communities and creates cohesive communities addressing stigmatization and providing a support network for these marginalized populations. This is a planning session. And this right there, that is Dr. Mulongo. Her head is just up in there. And that is Trad Hatton, our chief of party. So in conclusion, I want to leave you with a few thoughts. The first is need for increased advocacy in the DRC and elsewhere to address stigmatization, which has a significantly negative effect on the outcomes for key populations in countries like the DRC, where there's a high amount of stigmatization. Application of a champion community model to other non-geographic population groups that can be extended. So, for example, truckers and fishermen in some areas, we could apply the same model to those types of homogenous groups. And third, integration of these kinds of communities into national policies. So that is all. Thank you.